So you're at the Arctic Science Summit Week. How's that going so far?
It's pretty intense. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of people here. There are about 1,000 people from 30 different countries, and it's kind of a mix of scientists and government leaders and policymakers, and they're all meeting together. They're talking about how to shape policy for dealing with changes in the Arctic, and also they're talking about how to plan upcoming research for monitoring the Arctic and how it goes through the different changes, and also reporting on some of the results of the latest research. It's very busy. There are multiple venues, multiple events happening all around campus, and it's quite an active week here on UAF.
And in your story yesterday, you mentioned the Arctic Council. For someone listening to this, I know they're meeting there this week. Can you explain what the Arctic Council does?
It's kind of an intergovernmental panel, kind of a forum made up of representatives from various countries. There are 8 member nations. You have the United States, Russia, Canada, Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden. And they come up with issues and they decide on policy recommendations for how to deal with issues in the Arctic. And then you also have 6 permanent participant delegations from various indigenous groups in the circumpolar world. You have the Aleut International Association, the Arctic Athabaskan Council, the Gwich'in Council, the Inuit Circumpolar Council, the Russian Arctic Indigenous Peoples of the North, and the Sami Council. Now, they don't get to vote, but they have a large say and some of these policy recommendations that come up that are devised by the Arctic Council. Now, we haven't been able to sit in on the Arctic Council in their meetings because they're close to the public, but hopefully sometime on Friday we may hear from some of the representatives after the meetings are over and get some sort of ideas of some of the issues that they considered over the last several days here in Fairbanks.
And so it sounds like you've definitely been making the rounds. What are some of the buzzed about topics you've been hearing about?
Well, some of the things that they have been talking about is that that climate change is inevitable and irreversible. There are no doubters up here. There are no skeptics. It's happening. It's real. Also, what happens in the Arctic does not stay in the Arctic, and what happens in the mid-latitudes also affects the Arctic. The Arctic is changing at such an accelerating pace because of increased CO2 levels, and we may be seeing some of those results down south with the changing Arctic as a factor in unusual weather events down there. So everything is all interconnected through the atmosphere, through the oceans, and it's all having a rapidly accelerating impact all around the world.
And you mentioned climate change. Have you heard any personal stories while you've been there about how climate change has been affecting people?
There have been a few stories coming out about how people have had trouble accessing various species in the permafrost because of the way that some of the ice wedges below some of these permafrost polygons, these weird little shapes that you may see from the air, which kind of indication of some of these formations of ice in the permafrost underneath the surface, and how those are changing so fast, and how when the ice melts, it changes the structure of the land inside the polygon, and of course it also changes the vegetation and make it harder for people to access their subsistence resources by going through some of that vegetation, which may be drier and may be shrubbier, maybe harder to travel through. We've also heard stories about people, you know, no longer have access to their subsistence resources because of the retreating sea ice, and how the ice in the rivers and off the coast are a regular mode of travel for getting to resources, and how that is becoming a huge impact as far as for the people in the circumpolar north.
And so are there any surprising things you've learned, maybe things that are systemic of climate change that you didn't realize before going to this conference?
One of the things that's kind of beginning to open my eyes a little bit is about the potential impact on some industries, possibly in the north. There's the potential for unregulated commercial fishing in the Arctic Ocean. If the ice retreats far enough, who's going to manage that? And is there enough science there for regulators to be able to manage that sort of fishery. Also, there could be some issues with ocean acidification, especially in the Bering and Chukchi Sea. And if you have pH levels lowered and you have the acidity increased because the oceans is taking in the atmospheric CO2, in the next 15 to 80 years, you know, you have may have some species in which their calcification process is impeded, things like pollock and crab. And what's that going to mean for their skeletons and their shell structure? And so down the road, what kind of impact is that going to have for the commercial fishing industry in Alaska? And that's really huge in the state.
So what are your plans like for today and the rest of the conference?
Today I'm going to meet with a researcher from Switzerland who is jump-starting a competition for an underwater autonomous vehicle. These vehicles are considered as new tools for researching the acidification levels and other factors, that other changes in the ocean. I'm also going to check out a permafrost tunnel later on today and check out, see some formations of how the permafrost below the surface of the Earth is changing because of global warming and climate change.
Wait a minute, what's a permafrost tunnel?
Permafrost tunnel is basically just a hole that's cut into the surface below or inside the layer of permafrost, and permafrost is the level of the ground that underneath the surface of the ground, but it's the level of the ground that is perpetually frozen all year round. And inside this permafrost tunnel, we are expected to see prehistoric fossils and see some examples of those ice wedges that I mentioned earlier, that kind of the principal formation of these permafrost polygons that you sometimes see on the surface of the Earth.
So it sounds like this is really interactive and hands-on. It's not the type of summit you just take a seat and you're sitting down for 6 hours or something. You're getting to see these amazing things while you're there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the scientists and some of the policy leaders, some of the government leaders, they're stuck in those meetings. But, I'm one of the lucky few who get to go out and see some things around Fairbanks here.